The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Leading off with the big story of the day, Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and Tina.
Well, I would have thought that Denver would be the front runner, and I still think that Denver might be the front runner. But he is from New Jersey, and I do know that the Giants have a sentimental appeal. And I'd be curious to know who their GM is and what the relationship he might or might not have with Dan Quinn, because I think the Giants might offer enough just with geography to trump Denver.
Tyler, agree or disagree?
I don't know. I think it depends on how much control they're going to give Dan and the GM. If the Giants said, hey, you get to be Kyle Shanahan and you get to hand select John Lynch. Well, that's awfully attractive. Honestly, I don't see how you turn it down. They've got a couple of high draft picks this year. It's your hometown, and they're letting you hand select your GM. That's a big deal. But what if they go the traditional route and they hire their GM in the next 24 or 48 hours? Then they circle back with Dan and they're like, hey, now we want to hire you. Well, if he doesn't like the guy, I don't think it's even remotely a more attractive job, because we know that Dan Quinn likes George Payton. And I'm just telling you that I do think that that's how Dan Quinn is going to choose his next job. I think the number one factor is going to be his relationship with the GM. That's how they operate. That's how John Schneider and Pete Carroll operate. Mm-hmm. That's how Kyle and John Lynch operate. That's how Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitrioff operated. They're arm in arm. There's no division between the two. So George Payton, I still think that he gives the Broncos the leg up in Dan Quinn's mind. The actual location, being your hometown, man, when was the last time Dan Quinn lived in New Jersey?
I didn't even know he was from there in the first place.
I'm serious.
I
don't even know where he makes like his offseason home. I don't know the answers to that. So that's an open-ended question. I don't know the answers to it. I'm guessing he lives somewhere else. I mean, it's been a long time. And the NFL, it's such a mercenary league. You bounce around from team to team, whether you're a player, whether you're a coach. Every 2 to 3 years, you're on a new team. So I'm going to guess the last time that Dan Quinn had any real life in New Jersey was 35, 40 years ago.
Well, I think you're basically right. So he grew up in Morristown, New Jersey.
Okay.
All right.
So he's 18 years old. Then what happens?
He, where did he play? Did he play anywhere? Not really. Grew up in nearby Morristown Township, high school football, Morristown High. Attended Salisbury State University, a D3 school, wherever the hell that is. I don't even know where that is. Salisbury
Maryland,
University.
Maryland. Okay, so he's gone for college.
He goes to William and Mary.
Well, that's Virginia.
That's not there. VMI. And then he ends up in Hofstra.
Okay, so that's New York. So
Long Island, but yeah.
Right. But I'm just saying he's in the area. So
he's back home.
Right.
From 96 through 2000. And then in 2001, he goes to San Francisco.
Right.
2005, Miami.
Yep.
Oh. 2007, 2008, the Jets.
Okay.
So he was back home there. And then Seahawks.
But it's a mercenary job. Florida, I mean, he was back home for a mercenary job. I mean, my point is, he's been living on the road for the last 25 years, 30 years.
He's had a cup of coffee back home.
That's what the lifestyle is. These guys... There is a nostalgic factor in the early periods of your career. Like if the first time that I left the Broncos and I was playing in Seattle, yeah, it was weird that first year when I was no longer a Bronco. But after that, man, forget the Broncos. Like they're dead to me. I wasn't playing for the Broncos. I didn't care about the Broncos. Josh McDaniels sucked. I hated it. I seriously didn't even watch Broncos games. I didn't even know what was going on. If it weren't for Tim Tebow, I wouldn't have had any clue what was going on. So my point is, I don't think that that being a hometown has much to do with anything. The choice for Dan Quinn is going to be his relationship with the GM and the roster.
Yeah, but maybe he's, you know, really into the Sopranos and he's got a Bruce Springsteen tattoo. You know, maybe he's listened to Living on a Prayer 10 million times on repeat. He's been to 50 Bon Jovi shows. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what pride you take sometimes and where you come from and what pride you don't.
Here's the selling point for New York. They've got a number 5 pick. That's a big deal. They've got a GM opening right now.
Well, it's not just a number 5 pick. They got a couple of top 10 picks.
They do?
They do. They got, what we got? We got 5 and we got 7.
Oh, that was traded from Chicago. Yep. Okay, right, yep. Right. Okay, so they got 5 and 7. That's a big deal. Yep. You've got 2 top 10 picks. If you want a QB, you can get a QB, and you can get somebody else. If you get to hand-select your GM, that's a very attractive destination. But if they go the traditional route and they hire the GM and then they try to hire Dan after that, I think that George Payton's got the upper hand.
They had their second interview with Adam Peters. That was early today, so he's got to be a front runner. I don't know, man. I don't know. If this guy's dream... If this guy's dream is to run the Giants, then you're in big trouble. NFL guys that care about that, though.
I hardly know
anybody who gives a rip about that.
It's your dream until you're in the NFL. It's always your dream as a kid to play for the Broncos. I was insanely blessed that I got to do that twice. But once you're in the league... Man, you couldn't care less. You're not rooting for them. You don't have a nostalgic factor for them. When you come home, like, okay, it's kind of cool because you've got friends and family that are there, but it's not like internally you're like, wow, go Broncos. No, man. I mean, you're coaching in the NFL. You're playing in the NFL. I think it's been an entire lifetime since Dan Quinn had any sort of allegiance to the New York area, yet alone to the Giants organization. Who's to say he wasn't a Jets fan, by the way? Why are we assuming he was a Giants fan?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I guess just because it's the Jets versus the Giants. But I don't know. Good question.
Right?
I thought more... Hey, man, I totally could be wrong. But I thought Jersey was more of a Giants area and New York was more of a Jets area. That's what I thought. Because the Giants facilities are in Jersey, whereas the Jets were actually in New York. But, hey, man, I don't know. I could be wrong on that. That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, I don't really know.
I think Tony Soprano is a Giants fan.
Right.
Well, okay. I mean, you know, if it comes down to something...
According to the old Google machine, Jersey is somewhat split between the Giants, Jets, and Eagles. So right. Add the Eagles into that.
Right. If you're going down the shore,
right,
you may be more of an Eagles fan down the shore. Tom's River and such.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Who knows?
I mean, don't think about the hometown factor. That's what I'm telling you. I think that's going to have very little to do with it. But, yeah, take into consideration they've got 5. They've got 7. They've got a GM opening. And if they were to tell Dan Quinn that you are the guy, you get to select your GM, like you're everything out here. Well, of course that's going to be an attractive destination.
He's 51 years old. He has run around in circles. He's bounced around. You know what, man? I could see where he and why he would want more control rather than less control. And he's not going to have more control here. George Payton is going to have more control here.
That might be true. It that easily could be true for a lot of people. I think some coaches might go the other way around. Like your first time at it, you're like, man, I got to have everything. I want all the power. Josh McDaniels, the second go-around, well, now, I mean, shoot, he's got a God complex, so I'm sure he's going to want to have full control. But if he was smart, he would pass it off. Like, you know, there's a lot of coaches out there that, Bill O'Brien, for example, his undoing with the Texans was that he was a terrible GM. He was a terrible GM. Mm-hmm. He made horrible roster decisions, but he was a pretty dang good coach. So I don't know. I think there might be some coaches out there that look at it the second time around and they're like, hey, I kind of just want to coach ball, man.
Tony Soprano is a Jets fan. You know what? You're right. You're right about that. Tony was a Jets fan. He was. I don't know why Tony Soprano. Was Paulie Walnuts a Giants fan?
Boy. I just watched this like last year and I have no idea.
He was a Jets fan though. That's funny. That doesn't actually make sense, but I do have a memory of that. You know, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Who knows? Who knows, man? The Broncos, though, have to think about plan B. I think they'll make an offer for Dan Quinn. I think Adam's right. I think the Broncos are a front runner. I think Minnesota might be right behind the Broncos. I just find it weird that the Giants came in kind of at the last second here. You know, they had a, and really, a full week is the last second. You know, these things are not thought about. They're obsessed about. And so why was it the Giants waited that long to ask permission to talk to Dan Quinn? So to me, it feels that I'm nervous about.
Well, they were a day or two behind on everything. So if you think back on it, they held on to Joe Judge for a couple extra days. Then they moved on. It just feels like they were a couple days behind on it all.
Who has a better quarterback situation, the Broncos or the Giants?
They both suck. I mean, neither, you don't want either one of them. So maybe I my answer to that would be the Giants, because you've got 5-7. So you've got the ability to go get the next quarterback. Yeah, Broncos are sitting at 9. That's not far off, but you've got 2. That means you could easily package them if you want to move up, or you get to select one at 5, and then you get another player at 7.
There's kind of crazy similarities, because Daniel Jones and Drew Locke were the same draft class. The Giants, supposedly, if you talk to the Locke family, they'll tell you they thought Drew was going to the Giants. They had every indication that he was about to go there. It really was either Daniel Jones or Drew Locke, and the Giants ended up going with Drew Locke.
Boy, that must have been awkward working with Pat Shurmur then, huh?
I think it was very awkward. Yes, Pat Shurmur passed on Drew Locke. I always thought that was kind of a weird, awkward sort of moment. And maybe does explain why Pat Shurmur was never all that in on Drew Locke. It never made sense. Everything the Broncos
did make sense. The Locke family the impression that he was going to draft him, at some point he must have liked him.
They had all sorts of interviews and discussions, and they thought that's where he was going. They were surprised. It caught him. It did catch him by surprise. Daniel Jones caught me by surprise when he went to the Giants, didn't he? I mean, Daniel Jones?
That was a surprise pick for a lot of people.
You know, I mean, what did Daniel Jones do?
I don't think anybody really thought that Drew Locke was going to get selected there. The majority of analysts didn't think that Drew Locke was a first-rounder.
It was one of these weird up-and-down sort of things. And, hey, listen, it looks like everybody got it right on Drew Locke. You know, he really didn't have a first-round value. He's just been way too inconsistent. He's an all-right player, but he's, you know, hardly the future.
I'd have to go look at the rest of the Giants roster, because I'm not as familiar with the top to bottom of it. But the number 5 and number 7, that's a huge appeal. The fact that you've got that, and the fact that they have not hired a GM yet, I think that's a big deal.
Yeah,
because Dan, right now, he doesn't necessarily have to say don't hire a GM, but he might be saying, hey, yeah, I might come here if you want to bring this guy with me.
Well, right? Let me give you something. What if they know behind the scenes, and this is why they waited a little bit late, they really love Peters. They know Dan Quinn's going to be okay with Peters, and they make an aggressive move for Jimmy Garoppolo and try to make that happen. Kind of the same thing the Broncos are.
I mean,
I think
we could make the exact same.
We
sell.
Are. I think we're in the same spot as the Giants.
I don't know what the difference is, other than the fact that we know for a fact Dan Quinn wanted to work with George Payton. I don't know anything about Adam Peters. I mean, I know a lot about Adam Peters, but I mean, I don't know anything about his relationship.
You
want
to talk about that article? That was good reading today.
Which one?
The one about Pro Football Talk, that in 2015 it was going to be Quinn and Payton.
Oh, yeah,
in New York, or what was the other one?
Yeah, I mean,
or Chicago.
Is,
I think
this is actually really old news. That wasn't anything new that came out. That's been known for months. That Dan Quinn made it known to the entire world that he wanted to, but then George Payton wasn't interested in moving. So initially, he acted like he was interested in taking a GM job, and then he kind of took a step back and was like, "Hey, sorry, Dan, I'm good here in Minnesota."
How big of a loss would it be if the Broncos get outbid for Dan Quinn?
Well, that's a tough one. On the surface, it feels like a big loss, because you tell me a candidate that it's obvious that he is the second best choice. Is there an obvious second best choice?
No. Hold on. Maybe. I think it is O'Connell. right now.
Well, you and I are saying that, but I haven't heard that from any sources. I haven't heard that, and I talked to three people today. Nobody felt like they had a clue on who the second best choice
just
was.
Just my opinion. I haven't heard that
sure.
either.
Sure. So I'm in agreement with you, but my point is that there's no obvious consensus on who the number two choice is.
Fair
so,
enough.
Yeah, I do think it's a big deal. I mean, if you're swinging for Dan Quinn and you miss, well, now you're taking a big step back because you've got a big pile of names, and it's like you're going to pluck one out of it and hope that it works.
I don't. Okay, this is just kind of reading between the tea leaves here, okay? Because I haven't been told this, but it just feels to me, if Hackett had really blown him away, we would have just heard more about that at this point. So I'm not saying it's terrible or he's ruled out. I just don't think there's a vibe that he's just, you know, wow, we got to get Hackett. He's got to be our guy.
The way I understand it, nobody's really blowing him away. And I think that might even be, I'm not saying that Dan Quinn wasn't impressive, but I am starting to get the feel that it's not a landslide, that it's not Dan Quinn out there at like 85-90%, and then you've got the rest of the candidates fighting for the remaining 15. No, I think it might be more like 60 for Dan Quinn, and then you've got 40% left for the remaining candidates. And of the remaining candidates, okay, I heard that Jonathan Gannon had a great interview. Well, they're not really considering him, I don't think. I heard that Aaron Glenn had a great interview. Well, they're not really considering him, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And I would agree with you. I do think if Nathaniel Hackett blew him away, by now somebody would have said something.
I do too, yeah.
It's been a while now.
Yeah.
So I don't think anybody's really separated in the interviews.
Well, on the text line about Tony Soprano and his football stuff, all I know is he never had the makings of a varsity athlete. Oh,
yeah.
I mean, Junior. Right. Junior let Tony know that. I mean, they could not get over that.
Gosh, I wish I could remember more. I just watched it. I just
remember.
You remember so much more than I do.
I could never forget Junior telling Tony he never had the makings of a varsity football player.
Wow.
And Tony's kid having panic attacks as a D lineman after he got a big sack. You know, just, yeah, way to go.
Scary, man.
Yeah, football. Tyler thinking that him somehow obsessing about Dan Quinn will bring him here.
I mean, that's funny. I think I just gave you a lot of reasons why New York might be a more attractive destination. So, I mean, I do think it's difficult. If New York gives him the autonomy to choose his GM, man, I don't know if the Broncos could outbid that. Because you got number five, you got number seven, you get to choose your destination.
Yep.
You might still have some family there. That's an awfully attractive situation.
Dan Quinn is not the best choice. Your premise is wrong.
So, okay, to that texter, I would say, who's the obvious choice? You tell me not who you want. Who is the obvious choice? I mean, if we don't have Dan Quinn, I want Kevin O'Connell. He's not the obvious number two, though. Matter of fact, I've checked in with a lot of sources, and nobody seems to have a good feel on who's number two. Everybody's in agreement that Dan Quinn's out in front, but nobody seems to have a great feel on who number two is. So, okay, if you say he's not the obvious choice, well, who is?
I don't think there is one. We don't know. You know, we've told you.
Well, there is one. It's Dan Quinn.
He's
the obvious one.
Yeah, Dan Quinn's in another world, man. It's not about... You got to understand this. This isn't Dan Quinn's not an even competitor with everybody else. He's being recruited. It's right. Completely different than all the other candidates.
Dan Quinn is in free agency right now. Everybody else is at the combine. That's what it is. Like everybody else is at the combine trying to perform, trying to impress teams,
yeah.
Trying to say, hey, here's why you should hire me. Dan Quinn, he's getting flown in on first class, and they're saying, how much do you want?
In all honesty, there's no point in interviewing Dan Quinn unless you're going to make him an offer. He turned down the Jags. He was just like, forget them. They were interested too. No. It's different. Dan Quinn will get an offer from the Denver Broncos. It only makes sense. It has to happen in terms of an offer. It really is just about who he's going to choose. The rest, it's totally different.
Someone on the text line says Quinn is the safe choice. Well, maybe that's true. There's a lot of truth to that. But who's your GM? I mean, what was the very first thing he said after his very first selection in the draft? This was the safest choice in the draft.
Repeatedly.
right?
He looks around the room.
I mean, so, okay, I think there's some truth to that, that maybe Dan Quinn is not going to be the best candidate. Maybe he doesn't have the most success. But on the surface, he's the safest. And who is your GM? And what kind of qualities is he looking for?
I hope Quinn gets the Giants job. Sick of the defensive guys.
Okay.
That's not the big problem the Broncos have right now. The big problem they have is just how they do everything. The whole culture of the team, unfortunately. Unfortunately, we are back to where the Broncos were, Tyler, with Josh. Unfortunately. Now, it's not as angry and bitter and all that because everybody just hated Josh. No, nobody hated Vic.
You know what I am starting to get a really strong gut feeling of, though?
What's that?
If Dan Quinn is hired, we're in the same spot as we were with all of our quarterbacks over the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
We've got
ground
a division.
Zero. Yeah.
We've got people that are like, oh, terrible hire, good quarterback, terrible quarterback. That's what it's going to be. Which, okay, that's where we're at, and we've gotten ourselves to this point, but I do get that feeling.
I'll tell you this though, way different than Vic Fangio and VJ. Dan Quinn will win you over quickly.
Oh yeah.
Zero doubt about it. The one of the best things about Dan Quinn is just like the dude.
Yeah.
Like you are going to, if you're not really that familiar with him, you're going to love him.
Look.
Rightfully so.
Full disclosure, I'm biased. I played for Dan Quinn. I don't think that that's a secret. But the reason I'm biased is because I love the dude. Like, I absolutely love the dude. And, yeah, that's obvious. So if you think I've got clouded judgment, fine. I don't know the other candidates like I know Dan Quinn. But I do know this. Everybody that's ever met Dan Quinn, they love the dude. So the first time he steps in front of a microphone, he might not be the best coach, and maybe he doesn't have success. I don't know. But I do know this. When he steps in front of a microphone, he will win over Broncos country.
I've been very lucky to go to, 15 Super Bowls. Very, very lucky to do that. And one of the cool things is you go and you find out things about people. Okay, so 15 Super Bowls. Unfortunately, Belichick's been in a bunch of them on Belichick. Of all those other coaches that I didn't know much about, there were two guys that impressed me more than anybody. And that was Pete Carroll, and number one was Dan Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
Number one was Dan Quinn,
mm-hmm.
out of all those guys that I didn't know much about. I couldn't believe what a cool dude he was and how impressed. And I got a taste of Dan Quinn, too, unfortunately, at Super Bowl 48 as well with the Seahawks. Because you got to talk to the defensive coordinator then. So you got, oh, wow, okay, pretty interesting. And then with Atlanta, blew me away. Blew me away. So I've been a huge Dan Quinn fan for that. He will win you over quickly. That won't be the issue.
Oh, no question.
And you will become a Dan Quinn fan like that. So everybody out there that's, anti or hesitant about that, that's not going to be the issue. You're going to love this dude. The bigger issue is, what happens after that. But what are we even talking about? He's the number one candidate. You shouldn't be upset if the Broncos get Dan Quinn.
Everybody wants Dan
Quinn.
He's
the guy.
It's not the Broncos. The Vikings want him. The Bears want him. The Dolphins want him. The Giants want him.
He's the safest choice for a good reason. He's the best choice out there with the most experience and checks the most boxes.
Correct.
Period.
Correct.
The thing that is nerve-wracking isn't Dan Quinn. It's who, if it's not Dan Quinn.
You want to talk about unknowns. What the hell do you know about any of the rest of these candidates?
Exactly.
Kevin O'Connell's going to get ID'd at the local bar here in Denver. I mean, I like him. He's my number two candidate, but I don't know anything about him in the big picture.
Nathaniel Hackett?
We're going to show the ball. Hey, here's the ball. I'm handing it off.
I don't know. All right, the water cooler. Melvin Gordon is speaking up about, Melvin Gordon. Why not? Why wouldn't he? That's next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how how much your business can save.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Melvin Gordon. I was looking at a mock draft the other day about the Broncos, and it was like, oh, it was, you know, they had the Broncos drafting a quarterback, like in the not quarterback, a running back in the third round, and I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, that's a good spot.
Yeah,
you got 2 second round picks, you got 2 third round picks, you got Javonte Williams, who is obviously spectacular. You could probably get yourself a really good running back on the second pick of the third round, your fifth overall pick, if you still have that, if it works out that way. You're sure. Probably going to get somebody pretty good.
I'm sure you could, yeah.
And I'm seeing Melvin Gordon. Bro, I get more shade than anyone in the league, hands down. I know NFL teams know what's up, but come on, man.
Wait, so he's literally the most hated on player in the entire NFL?
He's tweeting that out.
I mean, come on. There's not a single player that gets more shade than Melvin Gordon in the NFL.
Bro, I get more shade than anyone in the league, hands down.
So he's mad because he wasn't listed in the top five of available running backs, which, of course, he's got a fair argument to be in the top five. I was messing around with Richie earlier today, but of course he's got a fair argument that he could be in the top five. But, I mean, honestly, if you really want to go through it, who's he? How many guys is he better than? I mean, to say I'm the most shaded on guy in the NFL. All right, Cordarrelle Patterson is ranked the number one running back in free agency. Well, I mean, his value to a team is so much deeper than just a running back. I mean, he's got 52 receptions. He can return kicks. He had 6 touchdowns, 618 yards carrying the ball. He's way more than a running back, and I would agree. Number one available free agent in the spot, Leonard Fournette. Okay. Leonard Fournette, I don't know that he's the second best, and Melvin Gordon's probably getting into the territory at this point because Leonard Fournette had 812 yards, 8 touchdowns. Well, Melvin had 918. He had 8 touchdowns on the year. I mean, if you just look at the stat line, Melvin Gordon is got impressive stats. And yeah, as Richie just mentioned, he was splitting carries. Now, I don't know how many of these guys have had game-deciding mistakes like Melvin Gordon has had. I don't know how you account for that in the stat line, but Melvin's had a handful of those. So, I don't know, man. I mean, Melvin Gordon had a good year. He had a better year than what I thought he was going to. Totally honest with you, man. I mean, the fact that he was able to get 918 yards while he's splitting the load, that is pretty impressive. It was a good year for Melvin Gordon. But he's always in this woe-is-me mode, isn't he? If it's not Philip Lindsay, it's something else.
I actually like Melvin Gordon, man.
Oh, the Broncos fans don't like me. Oh, I've got Philip Lindsay. Oh, I'm so hated on.
He's a pretty nice guy. I mean, every time I've been around him or he's talked, it's been
cool. He does cool dances every time he scores.
I think it's, you know what's difficult probably is just coming to terms with the running back position, period. I mean, as a running back, it's not easy, I'm going to guess.
No, it's not.
Running backs used to be the superstars of the NFL, and now they're...
Well, to one degree, they still are. I mean, they're some of the most commonly known names in the household across any given city, running backs are. So they're still famous. It's just short-lived fame. The fame comes and it goes, and you're in and you're out of the league in 5 or 6 years. And, you know, your time to shine, like, you know, in all honesty, Melvin Gordon... He got a huge deal on this last deal. He got a 2-year, $16 million deal. He picked up $16 million in the last 2 years. I doubt if he gets a deal like that again.
I'm looking at Kuiper's draft. Just real quick. Defensive end, offensive tackle, safety, offensive tackle, outside linebacker, cornerback, inside linebacker, wide receiver, quarterback. Just stop me when I list off a running back. Cornerback, wide receiver, center, inside linebacker, defensive end, defensive tackle, quarterback, wide receiver, cornerback, defensive end, offensive tackle.
Yeah, why don't you just tell me, is there one in the first round?
Wide receiver, cornerback, quarterback, defensive end, defensive lineman, cornerback, tight end.
So no?
No. By the way, the last tight end is Trey McBride. Go Rams.
We've got it, which is good for him, but, yeah, I mean, we know what that means, a tight end being in the first round.
I don't know what to tell Melvin Gordon and any other running back. It sucks. Things have changed. At least you're not a fullback.
It's a tough life, but, you know, he might be in for a rude awakening right now. He says he knows that NFL teams see him. He says that he's hated upon by the fan base, but he knows that NFL teams know what's up. Well, we'll find out in free agency whether that's true or not. And I'm not a Melvin Gordon hater on his production. I think he produced very, very well. I just thought that he was getting paid way too much money. So if you told me that Melvin Gordon hits free agency and there's not much intrigue out there and nobody's out there offering him $5-6 million per year, and if you're telling me that the Broncos could get him back for $2-3 million, well, I'd be interested in that in a heartbeat. The only thing I'm not interested in with Melvin Gordon is the money. That's all.
How much do you think Melvin Gordon makes next year?
I think there's going to be a team out there that pays him between 4 and 6.
Would you pay a veteran running back $4-6 million a year to team him with Javonte Williams?
If he was my number one, I would, but definitely not to team up. No. Javonte Williams, he just needs somebody to carry the load. You know, take a few carries from me. I mean, you've got your featured back. You don't need to go out and pay somebody $5 or $6 million. Absolutely not. I could draft somebody. I could pick somebody off free agency. I could, like, Mike Boone split the load. Mike Boone looked pretty good when he got his opportunity. So, no, I wouldn't go out there and pay that amount of money for a carry-the-load running back.
Who is the running back this year against the Broncos that had, like, 11 yards and went off? Was it the Eagles? Who was it? You know, was it? Oh, man. You know what I'm talking
Sanders?
About? No, it was this year. Some guy who really had never even carried the ball and then went off for like 150
yards.
Oh,
it was Cleveland. It was
Cleveland, yes.
Oh, gosh. The D'Ernest Johnson, fresh off Cleveland. The fishing boat. Right.
D'Ernest Johnson.
Right.
Seriously, I think he had 11 yards going into the game.
So, I mean, if you would have told me that we paid Melvin Gordon $8 million per year to be the featured back, I still think that's a lot of money. I still wouldn't have loved it, but I would have been okay with it. If you're my featured back, you're my workhorse, you're my Derrick Henry, like you're getting every single carry, all right, I'll pay a running back in that circumstance. But to split the load, do you know how easy it is to get running backs in the NFL? Like, there's a reason why Mike Shanahan didn't ever draft him.
Tricky one, then. Glasgow took a big, huge pay cut to come back.
Sure.
Kareem Jackson didn't get the heat he was looking for and came back.
Yeah.
The first year he came back, Shelby Harris took a lower run deal, and then he, you know, made it into something bigger. Is it crazy to offer Melvin Gordon, you know, kind of a deal like those three examples and just bring him back, run it back with Melvin Gordon? Is that crazy?
You really don't listen to me, do you? I just said that, yeah, if we get him on a $2 million deal, I'm in. For sure I would love to bring him back.
All right,
it's just the money that I'm not interested in.
Should they do, maybe that's the wrong way to put it, because I did hear what you said. Should they do it?
Of course they should. Melvin Gordon just gave you a year in which he split the carries. He almost got 1,000 yards, man. That's a good running back. Melvin Gordon's a dang good running back. So absolutely, you should try to keep good football players on your team.
Do you like any of these other five guys, though? I mean, would any of these guys profile better, though? Would you be interested in Sonny Michel, Chase Edmonds, James Conner, Leonard Fournette, Cordell Patterson?
I'd love to have Patterson just for the unique skill set that he brings to a team. He's a Weapon X type of guy. He could do it all. He could return kicks. He could play wide receiver. He could play running back. Of course I would love to have him. But over the guy that we've got, Javonte Williams, because all these guys, they're going to be number ones. They're going to get paid $7-8 million per year, and so no, there's nobody on this list that I would like to bring in to pair up with Javonte Williams.
Football 4 will dig back into the coaching search for the Broncos as they've got Kevin O'Connell and Brian Callahan on the radar today, Eric Bieniemy on Friday, and we do have a kind of an interesting look as to the other GM candidates for the Giants that may reveal something about if Dan Quinn would be coming to the Broncos or not. But what a night last night at Ball Arena. And apparently I asked Nikola Jokic a really stupid question. How do I know that? Because that's what Nikola Jokic told me. You'll hear that coming up next.
Yes. It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Off the the turnover. The Nuggets out and running. Jokic playing a little give and go with Gordon for the easy layup. Jokic goes quick again. Nice little deceleration for the layup. And it's a two-point game. Zubac sets the screen. He's got Jokic on an island. Floater is good. Mr. Clutch. Reggie Jackson gives the Clippers a two-point lead. Jokic cuts. His floater a little bit strong. Got it back. Just dominating inside. Owning the paint.
It's just so crazy.
He's got a 40-piece. On the wing, Jokic, five on the shot clock. They double-team him late. Cross court. Gordon for the lead. Inbounds to Jackson, got it off in time. Drew Iron, and that's the ball game. A frenzied, wild, fanatic finish.
Aaron Gordon, what were you thinking when you took that shot?
I'm thinking it's about to go in. I said, I'm about to make this. He's about to pass it to me. I'm about to make this.
I asked Gordon later, Tyler, I go, do players, NBA players, you know, like we all do, right? I mean, do you ever leave a basketball court before you hit the game-winning shot in your head?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, everybody dreams of that, right? I mean, you take the shot, you turn around, you walk away. Everybody dreams of that.
Isn't that the only way to leave a basketball court when you're out there by yourself?
Of course.
3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
So I asked
Kobe.
Gordon, I asked Gordon, do NBA players do that? And he goes, hell yeah. It's good to know that even guys at the highest level, they get to actually pull it off. Although Gordon admitted that's the he's had other last second shots. That's the first time he's had a three at the last second.
Oh, that's cool, man. You know, that was a big time moment for him. He stepped up big in the last week or two. He's had a couple of games where he scored 20, 30 points. And, you know, just having the nerves to be able to nail that shot, that's a big deal, really big deal.
Did you catch the funniest part of the whole thing, though?
What's that?
So Gordon hits the shot, and time was winding down on the shot clock, but the shot clock was going to end before the game clock. So he hits the shot, and then the shot clock goes off. Daven Reed of the Nuggets runs out onto the court, and there's still like 2 seconds left, and he runs from the bench out onto the court to celebrate with Gordon.
I love it.
He gets out. Well, he gets out on the court, and he must look around and be like,
uh-oh,
where is everybody? And you can see in the video at DMAC 104.3, you got to look at the other. I mean, the NBA games, there's like 14 coaches. Why there's 14 coaches, I really don't know. But there's like 14 coaches. They are freaking out about Reed being right, out on the court,
right.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
So if you're watching the game and there's a great reaction, by the way, Chris Marlowe and Katie Wingy did a great call too. They just let the call breathe, the crowd, the whole thing. But you can tell there's confusion. There was confusion because the referees had realized somebody from the bench from the Nuggets has just run out onto the court and the game's still going on. There wasn't a timeout
That's
called.
Good.
There wasn't anything else. You just had another dude just run out onto the court.
I mean, it happens all the time in football. All the time. Guys run out there when somebody gets an interception and, you know, it's pick six or something.
Right.
The guys start trailing. They run out there on the field. And you're just like, please don't call anything stupid right now. Please don't do it. Like, dude, get back. Just get back. What are you doing?
Well, the referees had no choice. They had to call a 10. They had to.
Yeah.
And so Reggie Jackson, who had a great game from Palmer High School, he hits the technical. I think it was Jackson that hit the technical. And then now we are in a bizarre situation where it's going to be a last second shot. If it goes in now, the last second shot, the Nuggets lose.
Mm-hmm.
Not the game's just tied up because the score was tied when AG hit that shot. Now the Nuggets are going to lose. And it was actually, if you watched the last shot, it was you know, shockingly close. I mean, it was a lot closer than you would have liked to. Even Rocky hits the half-court shot every now and then. I mean, the ball does go in sometimes.
Every now and then he hits it every time. What are you talking about? Rocky makes it every time.
Right. Sorry. My bad.
It's like his thing, dude.
Gobert the other night, the clock expired.
That's spraying silly string on the opponents, on opponents, and they get mad.
That was not a fake thing. That was a real thing last night.
Yeah, I know. All right, good for him. Rocky's the best, dude. One time I heard what his salary might be, and I'm not going to say, but I was I think he gets paid handsomely.
He does all right.
Yeah, I think he gets paid handsomely.
No, there really had to be a security person that stepped between Rocky and a Clippers fan last night. That was not put on, because the Clippers fan threw a beer on him.
Do you think Rocky and Miles train together?
Do you think
they've got like a secret mascot training spot?
They both do a great job blowing up 8-year-olds in,
Miles tweets me all the time, and it's like my favorite tweet. Whenever I get a tweet from Miles, I'm like, I got to show my kids. Miles is tweeting me right now.
That is awesome. All right, here's the Jokic thing, because Jokic was unbelievable. And just listen to how Jokic described the shot was great, but it was a wide-open 3-point shot. It's a shot that Aaron Gordon can really make relatively easily. What was amazing was how the ball got to him, and this is Jokic describing it.
Yes, there was a time difference between the clock, and they just gave me the ball, and I just wanted to like take the time and just to give them less time as possible. And then Coffee come to double team me, Will Barton pull in front of me, Jeff was in the dunker.
In the what?
What's the name? Monte was cutting from the slot.
Sorry, what?
And he was on the nail, and he brought, I think, Terrence Mann, and AG was wide open in the corner.
Man, he saw all that? I mean, I don't think I saw that on TV.
That was so great.
I know, that is fantastic.
He saw all of that in a half a second.
It's like listening to Russell Wilson on the Manning Cast the other day, talking about cover three cloud coverage, bumps it down, and it turns into cover two. I mean, that's exactly what it sounds like. And of course, I believe it. I mean, he said that with such like calm and certainty that, I mean, he saw it all. And that's the beauty of it, man. I mean, I love the fact that when the game's on the line, if the Nuggets have a chance to win the game, there is no way for the opponents to win if Jokic gets the ball. Because if you want to ISO him up, you want to dare him to go score, guess what? He's going to do it. He's going to win. I promise you, if Jokic had to go score, he was going to go score, and he was going to win the dang game. But you want to double team him, guess what? He's going to find the open guy, and I don't care if he's all the way across the court. Jokic is taller than you, and he's stronger than you, and he can throw the ball across the court.
All right. You ready to have him make fun of me?
Sure.
Jokic, the league MVP, making fun of me.
It's always a good time. I mean, did you say something about Josh Allen?
That would have been funny.
Were you like, hey, Josh Allen, how did you see Aaron Gordon all the way across the court, Josh?
Did Josh Allen? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's going to be hard to live down. Never going to live that one down.
Goodness. So, oh my gosh, dude. Speaking of that one, sorry. I know a little bit of sidetrack here. Squirrel. Yeah. I got to show you. So in my front yard, I've got a buffalo statue. It's Ralphie, okay? Like, like it's a real buffalo statue. It's a big deal. Everybody in the neighborhood knows it. They all talk about Ralphie. I just got a message. Somebody defaced Ralphie. Look what's on Ralphie right now.
Buffalo Bills gear.
Somebody put Buffalo Bills gear all over Ralphie.
He looks better.
I haven't even gotten home yet. I haven't even had a chance to take it off.
Let's go.
I mean, somebody defaced Ralphie. Well, put Buffalo Bills gear all over. I mean, I get it. It's a Buffalo. I understand the association.
You think it was a drive-by billing?
Or it was you, one of the two. Or it was Jim in his brown yard. Actually, it was his wife because he's a Jets fan. His life is miserable, but his wife, at least she likes a good team.
That's great and awesome, and go Bills.
Unbelievable. I mean, that's vandalism.
Well, he is a Buffalo in the building. I got the Jokic thing. You don't want to? All right. Oh, just get to it. Shut up, D-Mac. Just get to it. That's what you're saying, right, Chicken Fingers?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, somebody defaced my Buffalo. Don't tell me to shut up.
Anyways, with Jokic, we were laughing. The media people were laughing because he's making it sound like that. Like, we just like how he looks at things. It was just amazing, actually. It was a laugh of respect, not insulted whatsoever. But the pass was ridiculous. And so you got to listen to how he responds to what apparently was the stupidest question of all time.
Was that easy for you to read? Is it just clicking? Is that an easy pass for you to make?
I mean, I think I made those passes before this one. I think I made this. I kind of make those passes on a regular basis. I think on the regular basis, you know. So I think it's a normal pass.
First off, I don't know who you are, but if you ever been to a Nuggets game, you would know that I've made that pass 100 times before. I'm actually like known for my passing. People know me for passing the ball. Like, I'm really good at this. So, no, that wasn't that difficult for me, you dumb little Spell guy.
Too funny. All right, Football 4 comes up next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.